We were speaking of the second power of the higher thought mind, how it works, and the last line I believe that we read was the infinite was reduced to square and cube. That is, it was so much finitized that it could be measured in terms of squares and cubes and other mathematical figures, arranging symbol and significance, tracing the curve of a transcendent power. They framed the Kabbalah of the cosmic law. The descending curve of the transcendent power was traced by this mind, and the various symbols, their significances, were arranged mentally, and the mind framed the mystic law of the cosmic working of this power. Kabbalah is the occult science of the Jewish philosophy, centering around the tree of life, how the various worlds came into being, how the individual came to be, and how there is the ascent of the individual soul towards this parent spirit. They have got their own science. It is a carefully guarded science revealed only to the initiated, though in the present explosion of knowledge, a number of fine treatises have been written expounding the principles of Kabbalah. So here Sri Aurobindo says, the secret science basing the cosmic law of the transcendent power was framed by the mind. The balancing line discovered of life's technique. As you know, life is always flowing. It is in constant movement. But there has to be a balancing somewhere which holds together the entire flux of the life operation. And the mind discovers here that balancing line of the technique of life and structured her magic and her mystery. It gave form, developed into a system of the occult techniques, that is the magic and the mystery of life. Imposing schemes of knowledge on the vast on the vast, on the infinite, mind imposes a scheme of knowledge. Naturally, the vastness always escapes whatever boundaries are erected by mental knowledge, but that's another matter. Imposing schemes of knowledge on the vast, they clamped to syllogisms of finite thought the free logic of an infinite consciousness. The vast has a consciousness that is infinite, and this infinite consciousness has a logic of its own. The logic of the infinite is not the logic of the human limited mind. Still, this mind clamped, fixed that free logic to the formula of finite thought. That is, it reduced the free logic to the logic of the limited mind, grammared the hidden rhythms of nature's dance. Nature in movement has her own rhythms, which constitute the cosmic dance of nature. But the mind reduces these rhythms, classifies these rhythms in terms of grammatical rules to regulations, critiqued the plot of the drama of the world. Not our world alone, but there are many worlds in the universe. And the whole, if we conceive of a plot for this drama of the worlds, mind is ready with its own critique. Critique is an appreciation, formulation, and a determination of what it means and what it should mean. Made figure and number a key to all that is, all the existence, all the movements of existence are sought to be organized in terms of figures and numbers. Numerology and mathematics. Then further he says, with a note of irony, the psychoanalysis of cosmic self was traced, its secrets hunted down and read, the unknown pathology of the unique. The unique, the one reality which has no parallel, which is soul, which has its own individual nature, that is the unique reality that is manifesting in this universe. Now, this mind claims to study the pathology of this unique reality. Pathology is a disease. The science of disease, it presumes that all this, what it sees, the disorder, the disharmony, they are all illnesses, a sickness of the unique. What exactly is the disease is not yet known. So in its effort to trace down the causes of this disease, it psychoanalyzes the cosmic self, goes into the subconscious, the unconscious, and hunts down its secrets. That is, he parodies here the method of psychoanalysis, of presuming a disease and trying to find the cause in the unconscious regions. Its secrets hunted down and read, the unknown pathology of the unique, assessed was the system of the probable, the hazard of fleeing possibilities. In life, we have probabilities, things that are likely to happen. There are also possibilities, things that could happen. Probability is one that is somewhat imminent and may happen. But a possibility is somewhat distant. Now, this mind assesses the system of the probable, the hazard of fleeing possibilities. Possibilities are never stationary. Possibilities are always fleeing. Today's possibility is no longer a possibility tomorrow. And all this the mind does to account for the actuals, unaccountable sum. She assesses the probabilities, the possibilities, in order to explain the actual, what is actually happening. And what is actually happening, if it is totaled up, it is unaccountable. Not only you can't measure, but you can't explain. So it resorts to analysis of the probables and the possibles. Then further, necessities, logarithmic tables drawn, it draws the tables of logarithms, that is a mathematical tabulation of the contents of necessity. Necessity is an imperative. Things have to happen. Why? There is no why there. And all this cast into a scheme, the triple act of the One. All this effort of the mind is aimed at erecting a scheme to explain the triple act of the One. Now, what is this triple act of what is One reality? Capital One he uses. That means there is one reality. Now what's the triple act? The triple act would seem to be the self-formulation of this One into three schemes. The individual scheme, the universal scheme and the transcendent scheme. What is one has a status which transcends everything. It casts itself into the cosmos and assumes a universal status. It further casts itself into an individual scheme and prepares a third status. But the reality that formulates these three statuses and presides over the three is one. So, this triple act of the one is something of a challenge to the logic of the mind. So mind resorts to all these techniques, tactics, to fit the whole manifestation into a pretty little scheme so that it can claim to explain it. Unveiled the abrupt, invisible multitude of forces whirling from the hands of chance, seem to obey some vast imperative. There is an element of chance, everybody has to admit. Now, with all this action of the mind, the working of the forces which have been whirled from the hands of chance are unveiled, exposed to view, and they seem to obey some vast imperative. That is, the mind succeeds in showing to a certain extent that these forces are not really workings of chance, but are obeying some imperative, some order, which is vast, which is not perceivable. Their tangled motives worked out unity. Their motives are not easily discernible. They are all mixed up of the various forces that have been loosed from the hands of chance. But ultimately, all these tangled, mixed motives are seen to work out some unity. A wisdom, read their mind to themselves unknown, a wisdom of this higher mind, reads the intelligence that is behind the working of these forces. Their anarchy rammed into a formula, apparently the working of these forces of chance is full of disorder, unpredictable, anarchic, but this operation of the mind compresses, rams that anarchy into a formula, into a specific rule, and from their giant randomness of force, following the habit of the million paths, distinguishing each faintest line and stroke of a concealed, unalterable design, though these forces seem to be of chance, and there is such an unregulated randomness, waywardness of that force, each one of which follows its own path, and there are a million ones. This mind studies, distinguishes each faintest line and stroke, and traces some concealed, unalterable design. That is, it is no longer a chance, but there is some design which is hidden, which is concealed from the outer vision, and a design which is not susceptible to change. From a lower action, out of the chaos of the invisible moods, it is a poetic way of saying that all the changes and variations are moods of the invisible. From all this, this mind derived the calculus of destiny, the mathematics of destiny, the arrangement of destiny. It was constructed by the labors of this knowledge thought. In its pride of universal lore, mind's knowledge overtopped the omniscient's power. What is really at work is the power of the omniscient, a power that knows all, that can effectuate all. But in its working, it is now overtopped by the mind's knowledge. The mind succeeds in covering up the true visage of the omniscient's power. The eternal's winging eagle puissances, ego to show height and also the sight, wide winging sight, puissances, powers which are soaring in the higher hemisphere, they surprised in that untracked empyrean. They are taken by surprise in their uncharted celestial heavens, stooped from their jars to obey the beck of thought. They are moving in their own way, but at this beck of thought, thought mind which has entered, seeing that thought, they stop from their movement and stoop down to obey this call of the thought mind, because this is the domain of the thought mind. Each mysteried God forced to revealing form, each power, cosmic power, each God who is by nature covered with mystery, is here forced to reveal his form, assigned his settled moves in nature's game. Each God is given a particular assignment, what move he has to do in the prevailing game of nature. Zigzagged at the gesture of a chess player will. But even then, gods, they zigzag, move this way and that way. At the single gesture of the will of the chess player is God, the Supreme. He has a will, and for him all this is a chess play. And these gods zigzagged, move from position to position across the checkerboard of cosmic fate. It is God who is playing the game, and the mind, through its concept, through its knowledge formulas, tries to decipher, to systematize this game of cosmic fate played by the supreme player. I think we should stop there for the day.